Wall Street puts on its tea leaf reading glasses. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. At 2 p.m. Eastern this afternoon, financial analysts the world over will parse the freshly released minutes of the Federal Reserve's last meeting where the board raised interest rates for the second time in a decade. Susan Schmidt joins us now, as she does most Wednesdays. She's Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Susan, what are you and others hoping to learn from these minutes?
Fed minutes do come out this afternoon, and they are going to reflect the meeting that the Fed held in December, so December 13th and 14th, which was very important because the Fed, after that meeting, came out and raised rates. That was widely anticipated by the market. So today, as the minutes come out, the market is going to go back and comb through those minutes word by word to see how optimistic is the Fed and how comfortable are they in raising rates and get more detail around their indication that there are more rate hikes to come. There might be two, as many as three rate hikes in 2017, and try to find out how much of that was influenced by the surge in the market or the potential surge in the economy post-election.
Now, earnings season is just about to start, which means we're going to get the official line from a lot of CEOs and companies on how they're doing. Now, a lot has happened since the last earnings season. What are you looking for?
When it's year-end, CEOs come out and reflect on the past year, so we'll hear about the overview of 2016. Importantly, they then reflect on the coming year in 2017, and they start to give guidance and expectations of how they think their company is positioned and how it will do going forward. 2017 guidance, I think, will be very important because it's going to start to give you an idea of how comfortable CEOs are with the regime change and what's going on in Washington.
All right. Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you are riding around right now in a city like New York, L.A. or D.C., chances are you are stuck in traffic, close enough to your traffic neighbor to wave, hopefully with all five fingers. Now, let's go for a moment, in our imagination but still paying attention to the road, to a happier traffic place. A new study has worked out that gridlock in New York could be eliminated if the 14,000 freewheeling New York taxis were replaced by 3,000 computer-directed rideshare vehicles. What would that look like? Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
How much does congestion cost a city like New York? Bill Isley of Texas A&M estimates New York drivers spend 74 hours a year in traffic.
We're looking at almost $15 billion in wasted time and cost.
A team at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab has developed an algorithm that matches 98% of New York's ride needs with just 3,000 vehicles carrying four passengers. Daniela Roos led the research.
If you could have better traffic, lower pollution, this means improved quality of life for anybody who's on the road.
What about all the drivers? Roos says companies could keep the jobs, just make shorter shifts. That's problematic for B2B Desai of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance.
It's not just about the total number of hours at the end of the shift. It's also about which hours you're working. There's a lot of deadhead hours in this industry.
And just because it may be possible to lose taxis doesn't mean it'll happen. Do you want to share your cab? I'm Jed Kim from Marketplace.
This year, a handful of governments will try an experiment. They will give people a basic income. That's where the government cuts everybody a monthly check to meet basic needs, no conditions, as we've been reporting. But this is just one of many kinds of experiments governments run these days. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
Finland, the Netherlands, Ontario, even Oakland, California will all turn into mini laboratories for basic income in 2017. Matt Zwielinski is a libertarian advocate of basic income and a big fan of this kind of experimenting.
Even with policies I don't like, like the minimum wage, I think the fact that we've got a $15 minimum wage now is terrific because we've been debating for years whether the minimum wage causes unemployment, and we're going to get some good data.
One big difference, of course, cities like Seattle have already passed that wage hike. The idea of experimental governance is to test what works and what doesn't before enacting new laws. Finland is especially fond of this notion. Olli Kangas leads that country's upcoming basic income pilot.
And the idea is that it's better to experiment with a small group of people instead of making legislation for the whole country in the case that the law is bad.
Critics of these small social experiments complain they don't always predict results on a larger national scale. But they are getting easier, given the ability now to collect and analyze reams of economic and social data via computers. One thing you can't control for, however, is politics. Ron Heichel managed a basic income pilot in Canada during the 1970s, funded by a liberal government. The 1,800 boxes of data from that experiment sat in a warehouse for decades. Heichel says the conservatives who came to power after the pilot ended didn't want to analyze the results.
Either the program was a success, in which case that would constitute what? Pressure for the government to bring in the program, or it would show it was a failure, in which case they've just wasted $17.5 million of the public's money.
Scholars dug up that data about 9 years ago, and Heichel says it suggests a basic income holds promise, but it depends on how it's designed. He'd want to experiment further. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
What was your New Year's resolution? Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's was to take a road trip. He wants to visit and meet people in every state in the U.S. The goal, he says, is to, quote, talk to people about how they're living, working, and thinking about the future. I just wonder how many of the people he'll meet had New Year's resolutions to spend less time on Facebook. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.